BBC Six Music Podcasts. Six Music. This is a free download from the BBC. Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic. And now, Adam and Joe.
Lynn Patience and Steve Jefferis, I don't know if that's Jefferies or Jefferis, sent that in. They created that Doctor Who podcast intro and they say, "Hi there, Adam and Joe. Lovely to have you back. We're happy to respond to your request for a podcast theme suggestions. How about Doctor Who, radiophonic workshop version?" They were suggesting that we sung it, but they sent in that amazing illustration, and I thought it was so beautifully done, despite being slightly wonkaloid, that we should include it.
The wonkaloid is part of the beauty, as far as I'm concerned. That was terrific. Thank you, chaps. And you know what? Listeners to this show and to Six Music in general, they're very talented when it comes to making music. So I foresee a future when there is a radio station that is entirely playlisted by listeners' own creations.
You sounded a bit like Bob Dylan on Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio
Hour. Thank
you
very much.
There's many listeners to this program who are talented at making music.
That's how you speak, so if you mean what you're saying, with emphasis.
We're going to include some of those jingles in the show later on.
Don't you think if all the music was just made by, you know, Bob and Carolyn in Sheffield, and then occasionally you had a sort of amateur jingle sent in by the Fleet Foxes?
Perfect.
That would be better.
I think so. And I thought it would be a good way to fire off this podcast as well this week, because it was a kind of an unusual show. We're almost at the halfway point of our little season here back on Six Music. Show number 6, 2011. And it was like, you never know which way it's going to go. Sometimes the show starts off very scrappy, then it kind of comes together in the middle, then falls apart at the end. Other times it'll just build and build and build on onto a crescendo just before Liz Kershaw comes in. And
you're very analytical. Is this based on your own listenings at home and some sort of filing system?
No, it's just a sort of gut feeling. I'm talking about the live show.
Oh, the live show. Okay. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I did absolutely no preparation this week. I came into the studio with nothing because I had a very busy week promoting my film and I didn't get a chance. Hence, one or two things that went a little bit wrong.
Yeah, so it was weird. It was like we were firing on all cylinders.
I didn't read any emails this week. I just simply didn't have time. I didn't read a single email.
Yeah.
And that crippled me.
It was all going fine until we got to the made-up jokes section. There might not even be a made-up jokes section in this podcast.
Been expunged.
Listeners, because it was like a kind of disastrous
train
wreck.
Awful.
With an air collision on top of it.
Embarrassing.
And then on top of the air collision, there's like a huge tornado and some natural disasters that happened.
And their flies were undone through the whole thing.
Yeah, and their flies were absolutely agape with all the bits coming out. It was unbelievable.
If you want to listen to the sheer horror, I mean, I think made-up jokes is an awful
what?
Disease.
You're being disrespectful to all the joke meisters out there.
Yes, I am.
I know what you mean. Sometimes it feels a little bit diseased as a limb of this program and needs to be chopped off by a surgeon.
I just think we shouldn't chop it off. We should trim it. You know, when you prune, we should prune it.
So only do it when we've
viciously prune it. Like when my girlfriend prunes in the garden, I'm shocked at how much she cuts off. You're not pruning that plant. You're murdering it.
Whoa, you just...
But she's going, no. You have to prune it all the way down to a tiny little shrub and then it grows back twice as strong. So that's what we should do.
Right.
We should be ruthless. With the made-up jokes. Utterly, utterly, utterly ruthless.
Anyone called Ruth sends in a joke. No.
And then it'll grow back stronger than ever. But what the most important thing is the vetting.
Yeah.
And I just think the vetting needs to be extremely considered.
All right, James Herriot.
I'm going to stuff my arm right up that section.
Deliver that funny car for us next time you can. What? Listen, let's get on. You know, the other thing I wanted to say was, do you remember last week?
What is the other thing you wanted to say, man?
Yeah, the thing
I mean, you got anything to say, just spit it out, man. This isn't a cool down. You went and see whatever you want to see, just spit it out, man. Come on, come on. Use the moment. Take the moment.
Who's that guy?
I have no idea.
It's like a cool Jules Holland.
Yeah, go on, spit it out. What is it? What do you got to say,
you
man?
You know, last week I was saying that I didn't get enough sleep and I drank one too many glasses of wine before the show. And so this week I was going to be super fit, doing loads of press-ups and go to bed early. Well, I did all that, right? Not a drop of wine touched my lips. And
whoa! I just had an explosion.
Just coughed all over my face there.
All over the area. I'm sorry. I did a sneeze and I didn't control it properly.
You slimed me.
Oh.
You're going to have to
wipe it off. Whoa.
I was going to say that I went to bed nice and early.
It's probably not very nice to listen to that sneeze.
No, that's fine.
Like a horrible stereo sneeze in your
brain. Sure, it was better to listen to it than actually to experience the full force
of it. It's
like
the return of Boggins.
Face.
Like Boggins burst out of my nose.
Anyway, so listen, I was just rambling there.
So you got all that sleep. You prepared.
No,
you didn't.
Because I went to bed at a reasonable hour and I lay there
not
wide
to sleep.
Awake until 4:30 in the morning.
Listen, dude, that is a very good subject.
Yeah,
we should put that on our Text the Nation list.
Right.
I mean, techniques for going to sleep is a good one, but what kind of thing goes through your brain
right
when there's nothing in your eyes, and the brain can do very peculiar things.
It goes nuts, doesn't it?
But we should get into that in a couple of weeks, maybe, because we've got a Text the Nation subject for next week already.
Right.
Stored up.
Yeah, let's not confuse people, though. Let's see how the program unfolds under the expert, laser-guided hands of James, our producer, with his chopping knife. Here's the podcast!
Hey, you! That's right, you! What the heck do you think you're doing, friend? Sitting and worrying, the world's about to end. When there's a brand new podcast about to start, I'm foreign, hooray! Adam and Joe are here to make things right. Their inconsequential chatter will illuminate your night. Your spirits will be lifted, your problems will be solved. Unless they're really serious, then we just can't get involved. We took the live show and then we chopped it up and put the little pieces in the special podcast cup. Prepare to drink from it, share some with your cat. It's like a great big noodle pot prepared with yummy chat.
Last week on the show, I was talking about the fact that I was attending Joe's premiere of his film Attack the Block this Wednesday, and I was worried about what I was going to wear.
You looked amazing.
Thanks very much. In the end, and thank you very much indeed to everybody who sent in their sketches. There were some very nice sketches of things I should wear.
Like, just design outfits, fashion sketches.
Someone sketched a large, like, block-shaped outfit that I should wear, so I would be wearing essentially, you know, a big material, you know, like a block.
Did anyone sketch you in the nude?
No.
I'd be interested to see some people's sketches of you in the nude. I'd be interested to know what they think your mysterious, your areas are like.
This is a fun thing we used to do, wasn't it? I remember one holiday. Do you remember that? When we were sat waiting for a ferry in Patras.
Some of them could be
sketching each other in the nude.
Really? We weren't naked, though. We weren't posing for each other naked.
We were speculating.
I mean, because they needn't necessarily be fully revealing. They could be sort of Beryl Cook style bawdy seaside postcard pictures.
I'm remembering the sketch.
I think that'd be funny because I think your buttocks are quite unusual. I don't know. I think it's a secret you hold from me.
They're unusually impressive, certainly, because the rest of me is a little out of shape. But when you get to the buttocks, you think, what the heck? They're in amazing condition.
Most of it,
secret weapon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You've been working out.
Well, because I'm a cyclist. You know, I cycle everywhere.
That's what
so
I thought.
They are just extraordinary. Anyway, wow. not enough people get to see them. But in the end, what I did was I went for the suit that I got married in, my morning suit, tails, the waistcoat, the whole nine yards. I mean, I put it in my saddlebag on the bike, so it got a little creased.
Did you at any point have a crisis of confidence as you came down the red carpet towards the photographers? Did you at any point think, is this the right sartorial choice?
Well, I did. I had a crisis of confidence earlier than that, though. I strode out of the house. It was a beautiful evening on Wednesday. And I was all excited, got myself dressed up, you know, haven't been out for a long time. And I had my jacket over my shoulder then. I was striding down the street, going to get a taxi, another luxury. You know, I don't normally get taxis. And I was about to hail a taxi, and I had my shades on as well. I thought, I'm probably looking young and quite cool. And, you know, this is exciting. And I was striding along then. Someone yelled from across the street, "Oh, excuse me." And I thought, probably panhandlers after after one of my tuppences. But they're not going to get it. I don't want to deal. I haven't got time to deal with panhandlers right now. I'm sorry. I'm not in a charity mood. I've got things to do and taxis to get. So I strode on. And when I got in the taxi, finally, I glanced down and realized that my very long flies on my special suit trousers were absolutely undone, as undone as they possibly could be. And I was absolutely agape in every conceivable way.
Wow.
And probably the guy across the street.
In every conceivable way. I mean, because I'm conceiving
sure.
some ways.
Well, you would be right. Go further.
Oh.
Yeah, you'd be right. I mean, it's amazing that I didn't feel the breeze. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. And this guy was obviously trying to help me out from across the street.
No,
he
really?
He could tell, like, that guy's in trouble. I don't know where he's going. I don't know if it's a wedding or the premiere of Attack the Block, but he's in trouble. Anyway, luckily I noticed when I got in the taxi.
Good move.
So my confidence was shaken by the time I got to the
some pairs of trousers, gauntlet. I think, people who live in trouser factories... Mm. Occasionally, they sort of make the zips so that they will just fall open as right. something to get their day to go faster.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word? They sort of
loosen them
the zip, yeah, and secretly chuckle to themselves.
Right, grease the teeth.
Because I've got a couple of pairs of trousers where, you know, gravity just pulls
they
the
just
zip
slide
down.
Slide right.
They
down.
Just slide right down.
And especially
maybe it's a low grade type of zip.
Yeah, maybe it's a Lou grade type of zip.
Maybe they're made by Lou Grade.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing he's into.
He's finished raising the Titanic,
and now it's lower the Flytanic.
Podcast Techno Podcast Adam and Joe Podcast Techno Podcast Techno. Stop it.
Here's an email we received from a listener called Don Wallyman. He says, "Dear Adam and Joe, after last week's show, I was surprised at Adam's clear lack of understanding about your show's listener demographic." Joe quite rightly pointed out that what Adam was saying was nonsense. Now, this was when you said, very casually, without warning, during last week's show, you proposed that this radio program had very few listeners between the ages of 75 and 25.
17 to 25.
17 to 25. Yeah. Sorry, my brain. I'm 75. And I declared that nonsense.
Nonsense.
I intervened instantly.
You did. You got very vehement.
Very vehement and strident, and because the nonsense alarm went off.
Sure.
Because what you had said was nonsense.
I pressed the nonsense button.
Let's continue with the email. Mm. Even though I'm 29, says Dr. Dom, I know loads of people who listen to your show who are between 17 and 25. I mean, have you ever seen the pictures of Black Squadron? No, he hasn't, because I do that. I sometimes pass a few over.
That's true. Joe sees more than I do.
To further reinforce Joe's point of view, I have catalogued the entire debacle using some funky beats with a Z. So here is what Dr. Dom has put together. This is extraordinary. Please listen closely.
Because people who are aged between around 17 and 25 don't generally listen to this programme.
Oh, that's nonsense.
Is it?
Yeah, that's nonsense. That is
nonsense. Nonsense!
No, but the nonsense button's gone off.
Nonsense!
The funny Easter Bunny is back with the voice of Russell Brand.
Nonsense!
It's flashing.
Cornballs.
That is nonsense!
If you listen to this program when you're age 70 to 25...
Hello, just wait a minute, please.
Wait a minute? The fridge doesn't say that to me when I want to get something fridgy out of it.
Nonsense!
Write to Dr. Buckles right now and
there might be a few
adamandjoe.com.
I'm generalising that I think our listeners are either very young and don't know any better. or they're more sort of our age.
Nonsense!
There we are.
That could be a good promo for the show, couldn't it, James?
Well, now what we have done is we have installed a real nonsense button.
Yeah.
Is that button capable of making noise?
Nonsense!
There we are. So this can now be activated at any point if Dr. Buckles, or indeed Cornballs, says something that is absurd.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be going off a lot.
Wow. Wow.
Get used to that noise.
That's also something that people...
I mean, we're becoming like proper wacky Saturday morning DJs.
Sure. We've got more jingles than we have things to say. We've got nonsense buttons.
Oh, dear.
Noises. Beeping noises.
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's Retro Text the Nation time, and we are getting a lot of very nice and beautifully crafted jingles being sent in.
Yeah, and they're sort of fitting into a groove, because last week we played an amazing sort of cover of Bowie's Space Oddity.
Ashes to Ashes from
Sam.
Oh,
Ashes to Ashes, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was so beautifully put together and such a great sound alike. And now this week we've got another kind of Bowie-esque version.
This is from a fellow called Craig. He says, here's my Bowie-esque retro Text the Nation jingle recorded today, a riposte to Sam's excellent Ashes to Ashes. It's a bit long, but as the retro Text the Nation jingle is the greatest jinglest jingle in jingledom, yes, as Adam will agree, he puts in insulting brackets there, I didn't want to mess with it too much. Oh, no.
He wants to make it much, much, much longer.
Why would you want to mess with the greatest jingle in jingledom? Anyway, so let's fire off Craig's amazing Bowie-inspired jingle right now.
I used to feel acute frustration, 'cause I couldn't join in the text.
Text the Nation. So I would have done it. That is amazing, Craig. Thank you so much. What a talented guy.
Yeah.
And a brilliant impression.
But what a jingle. I mean, what a jingle to inspire that kind of devotion. It's amazing. It's just amazing how strong and important that jingle is.
Certainly.
It is.
Certainly seems to mean a lot.
Amazing.
To a lot of people.
Because other people make jingles and...
Yeah, they do.
I mean, jingle after jingle after jingle, and they just don't seem to catch on like that one does.
Do
it's
they?
Amazing.
No, they don't seem to connect.
Such a great jingle.
In
wow.
The same way all of mine.
Mind-blowing, really.
Do they? Okay, so Retro Text the Nation is dealing with last week's Text the Nation subject, which was body fiddles, and we were inundated with all kinds of variously interesting and revolting fiddles. We're not going to reveal too many of the really horrible ones.
But these are quite fun, aren't they? These are just little body ticks that you do just to pass the time. Like yesterday, I found myself doing the double knee jiggle.
Double knees.
Because I was really going for it. I wasn't watching, but then I realised everything was trembling around me, and I realised I had both going one after the other in a kind of rhythmic judder like that.
Right, right.
It's satisfying. I like it already. It's vibrating my whole body.
They're not actually in sync. Do you do sometimes the same up and down at the same time?
No, I never do that.
Because then you would burrow right through the floor into the centre of the earth.
You do have to be careful.
Yeah.
We like fiddles that you can do at home with no kind of proppage. There might be one or two with some props. Mm-hmm. But why don't you try these at home? Maybe you'll find a brand new fiddle that's the one for you.
Here's a bit of fun that I think a lot of people have with their nose. Dear Adam and Joe, says Alan, a man from Woking in Surrey, I have a deeply satisfying fidget that my wife finds incredibly irritating. If I pull out my nasal hair, of which I have copious amounts, I can sometimes make myself sneeze. I find the petit mal of the sneeze both satisfying and addictive. So I keep pulling out hairs and making myself sneeze until either my wife shouts at me to stop or I bring on a nosebleed.
Is that a fiddle? It doesn't feel like you can repeat that often enough.
He's got a lot of nose hairs.
Does he?
They keep growing back. I mean, now we're going to get a doctor
saying. And he sneezes every time. So it's poing. Achoo.
If you do it in the right way and from the right area, you can get a very nice little sneeze going there.
This is something Dr. Buckles does as well.
Once or twice I've done it. It's fun. I am totally addicted to doing this, says Alan, and cannot stop myself. My son also has a similar thing, whereby he has completely removed all the hair from one of his eyebrows.
No, that's just a problem.
It is a problem. We don't know why, and we can't stop him. Love you, bye, says Alan.
That's not a fiddle, that's a problem.
That's no good. You've got to stop that.
Don't do that. The way to stop that is just to stop doing it.
Right.
It's not that easy, though, sometimes, is it?
You have to maybe pluck both of them and then just start painting your eyebrows. It's not what you want to encourage in your young son. Though, I don't think, necessarily.
No.
Not there's anything wrong with plucking your eyebrows and painting them if you're a young man.
Here we go. Here's another one that comes from Rob McLeod, who's a project designer in Design Office.
I love Design Office.
This email is entitled, My Mate Alan. Hello, Adam and Joe. My mate Alan, who I've known since we were children, has two odd things which he still does now, and we're 28. One, he jumps up and down, clapping his hands when he is excited for long periods of time.
How long are we talking about here?
He doesn't say. Number two, if we play anything very physical that requires coordination, like basketball, he pulls a crazy face. He lifts his eyebrows as high as possible. I'm doing this now. Opens his eyes wide. Opens his mouth wide, exposing all his teeth, and sticks his tongue out really far.
Ah.
It's like a sort of Maori war face.
This is what I'm imagining Alan doing. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah, I love the show and would love it if you read this out, as it would make my palate work think I'm brilliant. If not, fair dues. Love and regards, Rob McLeod. Is that a fiddle? These things, who chose these?
Like Patrick and
these
SpongeBob.
Are too, they're so big. The sneezing, the nose hair plucking, the jumping up and down, they're so loud.
Here's one that is written in a kind of...
Writtened?
It's rotund in a sort of modern-day Russell Brand-style patois.
Ah.
Adman and Joe Scon. This is from Lee Hickman from Oz Squadron. He's out there in Australia, mate. He says, I wear big glasses. I'm going to read it exactly as it's written, right? I wear big glasses pon me eye-oles. They is right annoying and oft on come slipping down me nose, innit? Anyways, right, I'm like always pushing me goggles back up with me finger. Thing is, right, when me puts me contacts in, I forgets all about it and carry on pushing up on me non-existent glasses like. I think people reckon I'm buffing me nose or something. It gets me well vexed. Thanks ever so. Love you. Bye. Lee Hinkman, male, Oz Squadron.
Didn't really understand any of that. I just enjoyed the noises.
Me goggles.
The words. It's like an email from Dick Van Dyke. Here's one from Michael Clapham in Manchester. Hello, chaps. This one requires patience. At times of boredom and lethargy, I'm prone to sticking the first inch of my tongue out from the safety of my mouth and sealing it off with my lips so that the tip of my tongue is exposed to the harsh outside world and the remainder is left in the safety of my mouth.
And there you now.
I try to go about 2 minutes without returning the little fella home, which makes it really rather dry and seems to expose the taste buds. It is a strange sensation to feel part of your tongue completely added. But returning it to its oral sheath is hugely satisfying. The drying out process can be sped up by exhaling from the nostrils onto the tongue. You then achieve a kind of two-tone tongue, which feels very strange and nice when you wiggle it about before popping it back in your gob. Try it. It makes your own saliva taste yummy. Smooches, Michael Clapham from Manchester.
Yeah, I've got my tongue out. Been out for about a minute. Needs another minute, though, right?
You've got to seal it off with your tongue. You've got to, like, you know,
my lip.
Seal it off. Lou from Bradford, who is a girl, says, Dear Adam and Joe, while going to sleep, I slip my little toe in and out of the two largest toes on the opposite foot. I repeat, I slip my little toe on one foot in and out of the two largest toes on the opposite foot. I find it soothing.
I do that, yeah.
That sounds nice to me.
That is nice. Here's one from Janine Schroff. And she says, I like to take a small but long strip of hair, left side of head only, and always the same bit of hair. I can always find it. And run my fingers down, not through it, until it's perfectly smooth and silky. Then I like to loop the strip with one hand only, then stroke the back of my left ear once, and then the back of my neck once with the smooth loop. Sometimes, after much smoothening, is that a word? Yes, it is. I like to stick the strand backwards over my ear, almost a Princess Leia, but more crazy. And then I make my girlfriend look at it and force her to praise me insincerely. Then I start smoothening it again. If it's not perfectly smooth, the sensation is ruined! Toodles, Janine. Thanks very much, Janine.
That's a good fiddle. Thank you very much to everybody who sent in their fiddles. There'll be a new Text the Nation subject coming up very soon.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Adam.
Now, Joe, you're a Bronholm fan, right?
I love Pierce Brosnan.
I mean, I think it's safe to say we both love Bronholm, but you're a particular aficionado of his noises and
yes.
exhortations.
Yes.
Mainly the non-verbal ones. I mean, not
I like
non-verbal.
I like every noise he makes.
Non, sort of, the more articulate, or the less articulate, the better, really, from Bronholm. He articulates...
Oh, he's a terribly good grunter.
With his grunts,
yeah.
Sure.
And when it comes to playing Bond in particular, it's very important to grunt if you're doing something, exerting some sort of effort.
Yeah.
Killing someone, saying something witty.
Getting tortured.
Hauling yourself up, yeah.
It's a trick that Craig misses.
My name's Bond. Yeah.
Did you ever see the film Taffin?
I've heard of the film Taffin.
Early Bronholm.
80s.
1988. He is an Irish tough guy debt collector asked by his local community to help rid the town of developers bent on building a chemical plant
Damn
on
developers.
The outskirts of town.
What? Now, why did you end up watching Taffin?
Well, last weekend I did a gig. It was called Sod Cancer and it was a charity thing. And I was there with a lot of wonderful comedians. And in the green room, we were bantering after we went on and did our sets. And I was talking to lovely Dave Armand and Justin Edwards. And they were... talking about Taffin, I was and saying, "Oh yeah, I watched Taffin." I was like, "Why did you watch Taffin?" And they called up this clip on YouTube, and I understood why they'd watched Taffin. Here is Bronholm delivering a line in just about the most extraordinary way conceivable, in only the way that Bronholm can, and it sounds as if, like at the beginning of this very short clip, he's saying it's none of your business or something. And the word business is cut off. That's the way it actually appears in the film. It's not just a quirk of the clip. Here he is.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Ooh. That's that good way to make a point.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
They
I mean, he's
happy.
Shouting and he's elongating.
So you're a director, right? What would you, how would you feel once...
That'd be great. Cut, move on.
Exactly.
Done, in the bag, in the can.
Would you ask him to try it any other ways?
No, I mean, can I hear it again even? Can we please hear it again?
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
I like that it's what she just said right back at her.
Elongated. Then maybe you shall have been living.
We don't know that. What's the context? We don't know the context. Maybe that kind of emotion is justified. Is it what's going down in Taffin when that? Why?
I think it's in the last third of the film, and things are getting tense. And
clearly,
maybe you shall have been. No, like what other ways could he have said the line? He presumably
no other
he
way.
Started. Do you think he like built to that pitch? And started, well, and maybe you shouldn't be living here.
Well, that's,
started
I mean...
like that and then built it up. Then
yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't be living here. Then maybe you shouldn't be living here.
No. That's, I mean, no. No.
How does he do it, then?
He's correctly, he's absolutely at the end of his tether.
Sure.
As, you know, as a director, and I know all about acting.
Yeah.
He's pushing it right to the very edge. And the next thing as an actor he would do is burst into tears.
Right.
There's nowhere else to go there. I'm so unhappy. That's the next thing you do on
then
the acting
spectrum.
Then
maybe you shouldn't be living here!
There is other thing. Another thing he could do is just start smashing everything up at that point. Just freaking out. And
he could
punching people, throwing furniture around, throwing vases, headbutting windows. Just going... and doing a raspberry. That's what Brando would do.
And then puke.
Yes.
On himself. Let's just have him once more on his own again, James.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Yes.
The theme tune to the third man was the soundtrack that was zither. Played within the earshot of the picnic wrecking lizard. On hearing it, the reptile ceased his wrecking and decided to use the first seven notes as a sexy zither prefix. A zither prefix, zither prefix. The music is a sexy zither prefix. He's feeling so much calmer, cause henceforth the naughty lizard will be hailed by his slinky flinky third man zither prefix.
Yes, that was really good.
Those were the lyrics of Michael Dennis. He sent those in. Thank you, everyone, who sent in suggestions for the continuation of the Like a G6 saga. The song, of course, is by the Far East Movement. They created this
And that
song.
Was their using the word zither very cleverly. And that seemed to sort of springboard a whole lot of thoughts there. Like, you played that Third Man theme as a free play in the
well,
show.
Well, I was inspired to do that by Michael Dennis, mentoring the Third Man zither prefix there. I liked the idea that you would have a zither prefix.
I mean, this is experimental. We're trying to push quite a difficult rhyme as far as it can possibly go.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you go from zither?
I haven't even dealt with Mr. Neelix yet for Voyager fans.
Well, there's a way to go.
That was really nice of you, man. Like, in the past, you would have just spluttered
there's a way to go.
And Joe just sort of looked at me for a second and thought, I'll be supportive.
I'm too tired.
I'm going to put my scorn bucket away for this week. I'll give him a little
it's
G up there.
Sat on it.
So thanks very much. Who knows at which point this, like a G6 thing, will simply disintegrate and have to go the way of the made-up joke section.
Never.
But for now, let's continue with the podcast.
Carry on.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
So yes, just over a week ago, Willie and Katie were married and the nation celebrated, and we composed songs in their honour here on the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music programme, and we asked you to vote for which one you liked best. We played them in full on last week's show, and thank you very much indeed for emailing throughout the week with your votes. Here's just a few of the comments that came in. We've been handed these by James, so he has offered us a couple of comments for our songs each, so we don't know how the voting has gone, or it's been kind of kept from us, although a few of them trickled through in some of the emails.
I think I've got a good sense of how it's gone.
Well, the only ones that I read throughout the week were voting for Joe's.
I disagree. I saw nothing but people voting for you, and I saw tweets saying how hilarious the Queen's Laura Laura song was. I haven't finished yet. Mm-hmm. And on the blog, which
such
I look
nonsense,
at...
Nonsense.
Hey, sorry. You don't know whether this is nonsense. on the blog, a lot of people posting comments on the blog underneath these songs were voting for the Queen.
I didn't see that.
I just think people have a lot of respect for Her Madge.
Sure they do.
And when they hear her singing in that way, they respect her and wish to vote for her because they're good patriotic citizens. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, should the song by the Queen turn out to be a treasonous... ribald spoof, then he who sang such a song should be executed for treason.
Have his crown jewels chopped off. But we have the envelope here with the official results.
And what an envelope. This is the first Song Wars envelope we've had for a while, and some real effort has been put in by James and Lucy and Tom, our team. It's in a properly sealed envelope which says confidential property of the Big British Castle. It's properly addressed with a Six Music sticker.
Yep.
I'm going to open it now. This is very exciting.
Joe is removing the results from the envelope.
Joe gets 41%. Adam, 59%.
Oh, just scrapes
Count Buckley's is the winner. I got a bigger vote than I
yes!
thought I'd get.
You know what? I got quite depressed yesterday reading all the comments because I swear to you, I literally only read ones where people loved your song and were voting for that one. I just thought, I'm going to get trounced. I can't believe it. I killed myself doing that song.
But luckily, it's turned out fine.
So now my song is going to be erased from history. Black Squadron squads will be visiting your house, kicking in your front door.
But that is a close result. So you know,
demagnetizing your hard drives to get rid of my song.
I'm very grateful to everyone.
I think your song is disgusting.
Yeah.
And insulting to the Queen.
My parents-in-law said, "Is your song disrespectful?" They said, "What are you doing on your radio program this week?" I said, "Oh, we're doing because I don't think they listen to
the show."
My dad
said something along those lines as well.
I said, "We're doing songs for Kate and Wills."
He said, "Don't be too cruel."
Exactly. Well, they said, "I hope it's not disrespectful." Mm. And I'm not sure if they're
mums and dads know the bottom line,
Republicans or not. But I said, "No,
I think it's disrespectful and disgusting, and I don't think we should play it."
Well, here it is.
We should play mine instead.
And now, my lords, ladies, and gentlemen. Performing her own special musical tribute to the happy couple, Her Royal Madge Highness, the Queen.
Once upon a time in a lonely university lived a lonely couple called Willie and Katie. They fell in love when Katie showed her pants at a party, and then they went on telly to appear on Blinded Data. If you were a princess, what kind were your boy? I'll be a really lonely one, I promise you, Your Majesty. I won't fix introductions for suitcases of money, or do a sketch on Red Nose Day, even if it's really funny. Thanks a lot, Chuck, that sounds good to me. Graham, slide the curtain back, I think we'll go for Katie.
Willie and Katie, Katie and Willie.
You're going to have a lot of lonely life, just don't be silly.
Kate and Prince of Willies, Will and Princess Kate.
Just follow my instructions, please, I am the head of state.
Don't get a stupid butler who rifles through your pants.
He'll end up in the jungle with Declan and the ants.
Stay clear of Piers Morgan and other sleazy men.
Don't wanna see Andy Morton or Martin Bashir again. Sometimes the life of a princess can be a royal pain in the parts. Oh, lovely Katie. Meeting boring people, asking what they do, pretending that you're interested, smiling for the cameras too. When all you want to do is say you're happy family.
Kate and Prince of Willies, Will and Princess Kate.
A Laura, Laura, lonely couple out of Blinded Data.
Katie, 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 Willie, Willie, Wills.
Don't dress up as Nazis, don't get hooked on pills.
Katie's on a plate and Willie's on a cup.
There's a lot of people watching you, so please don't screw this up.
Awful. Well, insulting, awful. So rude. I mean, they're young couple getting married. They had no choice. The Queen has worked so hard over all. She's such a modest, respected woman. And I just think that's so disgusting and sad, that song.
Oh, come on.
Hey, she's back in the studio. No, I love it. I think it's brilliant.
Got a lot of wedding bedding.
She sounds a bit tired. It's been an exhausting week.
So tired. All the lovely cars and presents coming in. Put me in a cool special place for presents. Thank you for the presents. Oh, nice tis mad. Oh, thank you. Yes?
Seeing as you're here, where can you reveal any royal scoops? Do you know where the couple will be going for their honeymoon?
Yeah, they're going to Centre Fox. It's nice there, a big dome in it. And oh, lovely, lovely swimming pool.
That's very exciting.
There's over parks available.
There's space in all parks.
There's other parks that's available with a dome in it.
And they must have made a mess. Was it tough clearing up after the party?
Oh, it's a lot of mess, mate. Chuck, sorry. Lovely couple. Loads of cups and piece of wood.
Were there any wine stains on the wallpaper or anything bad?
There's a lot of vomiting on a carpet from the Duke of Prince of Edinburgh, Willis. And there's to scrub and scrub and get that off.
Yeah. Did you do some of that scrubbing yourself, Your Majesty?
Oh, my scrubber. What? In when it comes to stains, that is. What, Laura Boy?
Disgusting and insulting. Nice. It was a beautiful weekend last weekend across most of the country, and there was an atmosphere of great celebration. But in my neighbourhood in South London, this resulted in a local person having a party. Mm-hmm. And an outdoor party that started at about... in fact, it was going when I got back from this programme at about 2 p.m., 2:30 p.m.
Always good.
And I'll tell you a bit more about that in a second. But here's a text we received from an anonymous correspondent. Please, Adam and Joe, please help me. My neighbours a few doors away have a very powerful PA system. And last night decided to test how loud it could go while having a karaoke party till 2 in the morning in the garden. My house is double glazed. My walls have been cavity insulated. My loft space has a huge amount of insulation in it. All doors and windows were shut. And yet still, the noise level penetrating through my entire house was akin to being in a tent at a festival very close to the main stage. Being a fairly responsible parent, I was unable to aid mine or my children's sleep the way festival goers do. And instead, the three of us had to suffer lying in bed, being subjected to banging beats and appalling singing while desperately trying to blot out the horrendous noise using television and headphones. Today, we're all very tired and still rage-filled at their idiotic audacity. Besides pleading to two well-respected comic geniuses, very nice of you, don't know who you're talking about,
Mitchell and Webb, I think,
filmmakers and DJs such as yourself, what can I do? And so there is an anonymous plea. And that struck a chord with me because last weekend when I got home from the show, literally my entire neighbourhood, like three or four blocks, were pounding with dreadful Euro house.
All from one
yeah,
place?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And as I got out of the car, I spotted my neighbour, who's a gentleman in his 70s or even early 80s.
Yeah.
Lovely man, quite ill recently. But he was walking around clearly trying to find the source of this noise because my neighbourhood is like a little echo chamber.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard to tell where the music might be coming from.
Bouncing off all the walls.
So I ran along and caught up with him. Yeah. And eventually we cut through some gardens and got to the source of this noise. And my house backs on the garden of my house. There's lots of, it's almost like a giant set of allotments, you know, divided into, you know how what London gardens are like.
Sure.
You get lots of
all
them.
Backing onto each other.
Yeah, exactly. So we eventually found the garden where this noise was coming from. And the sight that met our eyes was basically one man, a dog and a baby
right.
in a quite large garden, and he'd set up a table. He was obviously building up for his big Barbie. Uh-huh. And he had also a PA system, and this seems to be a new thing, like a proper massive club-sized speaker
what?
That he'd run out from his kitchen. And he was just playing utterly, utterly deafening, dreadful Euro house, funky house. So I started shouting. I kind of stood up on a wall and I started shouting, "Can you turn it down? Can you turn it down, please?" And I had to shout at the top of my voice. I could only just be heard.
Whoa.
And he had a little sort of trilby, you know, and shorts. And he turned around and looked at me as if I was some sort of
mental case,
aggressive nutcase.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What? What?" I was like, "Turn that down. You're ruining everyone's weekend. There's families around here. You're deafening the entire neighborhood." And this guy starts getting angry at me.
Right.
As if I am some sort of fascist man.
That's Torpedo Commander Cornish, yeah. The party pooper, notorious in this area.
I blame the Beastie Boys for releasing the track Fight for Your Right to Party, because this guy started to sort of get sort of agitated and self-righteous, as if he had the right to play this incredibly loud. And literally in every house for three or four blocks, you couldn't hear yourself think.
You need to fight for your right to stop the party.
Cups were vibrating and everything. Anyway, that doesn't really have much of a punchline, this story.
Well,
eventually he turned it down.
Yeah.
And then his girlfriend came out looking very indignant with her hand on her hips.
Why is the Euro house being turned down?
And her question was, why are you shouting at us? The answer to which was, because you're playing music so loudly that even to have the most basic communication, I have to yell at the top of my
voice.
We're
part of a community,
and she was going, why can't we have a party? What's wrong with having a party? What, don't we have a right to have a party? And you start to think, I'm a bit divided about this because I love a good party, but at the same time,
I love a bad one.
It's weird, isn't it, that people seem to think that one individual's right to have an amazingly good time supersedes everyone else's right to choose whether to have a good time or not.
Right.
I just wondered whether any listeners had any techniques for diffusing or dealing with that kind of thing, because I do feel myself being on both sides of the argument a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a party pooper.
But at
the same time, I don't think one individual has the right to impose their party on an entire six or seven blocks of South London.
Absolutely. And then conversely, do you not find that when you're at parties at friends' houses and they're cranking it way up,
and you can't hear each other speak,
and that's annoying, but also you feel bad for the neighbours yourself.
There's nothing you can do about it because you call the council and they do nothing. They tell you, do a diary and write down every time this happens, and if it happens like consistently for about 10 weeks, then you might have a case.
Noisy nightmare neighbours.
There's nothing you can do. People seem to be able to just...
The only thing you can do is just try and go round there and reason with them and not lose your temper.
But that's what I'm after. Tactics. Good tactics to reason with people.
It's outrageous. I can't I can't enjoy myself at a party if the music is that loud, and I think people are being bothered.
You know what we should become? We should become DJs in a music station because we love music so much.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Traveling tales, tales of traveling on the train or an automobile or an aeroplane. I want to know what your traveling tales.
All aboard the Skylark!
Here's a message right now from Tom Disney. He's a mailman from Liverpool. Male human man. He says, recently, whilst I sat on the bus, I felt a drop of water land on my head. Nearly every bus in Liverpool is old and leaky, and as it was raining, I didn't think much of it. Then I felt something trickle down my neck and back, which was warm. Turning around,
sound good.
Turning around, I was met with the sight of a big German shepherd, a dog, not a man, that had climbed up on the seat behind me with its head above mine, slowly drooling. I froze with disgust as the dog proceeded to lick my face. The owner just sat there smiling, staring ahead with a faint smile. I don't mind dogs, but animal drool is several steps too far. I went mad, and in my rage, the only thing I could shout was, "Bus chairs are for humans, not dog seats!" Which doesn't make much sense. But she had the cheek to reply, "If you got a problem..." I'm going to do a Liverpool accent. "If you got a problem, go sit somewhere else."
When are you going to do the Liverpool accent?
I don't know, maybe never. I wasn't able to think of a comeback, so I did go and sit somewhere else. I felt sick for the rest of the day. Tom Disney.
Was he wearing his MP3 headphones, do you think? Because I don't believe that.
You don't reckon?
I think if a huge German shepherd was...
You'd hear it.
Yeah, you'd be conscious of it. You'd smell it. And right. I mean, imagine if it was Boggins. Do you remember Boggins, the dog that used to come into this studio?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah.
Remember the smell? Imagine if it was Boggins. I mean, you would not have to wait for Boggins to dribble down your neck.
Well, you'd know
you
it was Boggins immediately because he'd be biting the back of your legs and, you know, doing a little...
Yeah, pop. And the stench. I mean, the stench would be extraordinary.
You don't believe that? I mean...
Well, unless he had his MP3 headphones in, then you're sort of totally cut off to everything, aren't you?
You don't want a German shepherd drool down your back.
Yucky doodles.
That's well, a
give
bit
us
much.
Another one.
Well, you know, a lot of people have been communicating about conductors.
Oh, the announcement we played last week. We played a clip of an announcement someone had recorded on a train, the guy that tells you what station's coming up, and no one could tell whether this chap was a robot or a human.
Let's just remind ourselves.
Gentlemen, very good evening. Your Barford, this is your 1821 Southern Service to Tatton Corner. The service now calls at Breedham, Smetham, Woodenstone, Chipstead, Kingswood, Tadworth, and Tatton Corner.
Tadman Corner. He doesn't like that station very much. Well, Tadman Corner.
Lucy Carruthers says, I was delighted to hear the train carriage footage on your show last week. It brought back happy memories. I've shared that same real person. He's not a robot. He's a driver or a conductor on a last train from London Bridge to Peckham Rye. Or as he announced it, Peckham Rye. He's the best train driver ever, and he succeeded in making me laugh. Apologies for said laughter on the attached sound file. Are we playing the one with the laughter? Okay, here
so
it is.
So she's recorded him as well.
Yeah, a little clip.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Southern Service to Norwood Junction. The next station stalling Peckham Rye.
That's good. Is that the same guy?
How does he say that? The next station stop will be Peckham. Right.
Is that the same guy? Is this the same guy?
Yeah, same
on the
bloke.
Same train. Wow, this guy's amazing. Can we hear that once more?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Southern Service to Norwood Junction. The next station stop will be Peckham.
That is insane. The next station
he's got
stop
skills.
Will be Peckham.
He should be on right. Six Music. He should genuinely be on. He should come and do. Can we make contact with that guy? Because he has got a voice for radio. And those are skills. That kind of intonation is not easy to do. And he's applying a lot of voiceover skills. He's elongating. He's curtailing. He's distributing emphasis in a peculiar manner.
He could be the ident king.
He's old school. He's new school. He's got so much skill there, and it really should be tapped.
Here's a message from Matt. He says, "Dear Adam and Joe, your bit last week about the train announcement reminded me of a ticket collector on the Shrewsbury train to Birmingham... the Shrewsbury to Birmingham line that has its own catchphrase. I recorded this a few months ago. He regularly uses the phrase, enjoy your train travels, as a catchphrase, so much so that regular travellers feel let down if they don't get it at the end of the line. Here's a little clip of him in action.
All exits out of Birmingham New Street Station. This is Birmingham. All change here, please. Have a pleasant day and enjoy your train travels.
He does a little gap there, a little your pause for effect. And enjoy your train travels.
Man, do you think that the railway network is a secret reservoir of extraordinarily talented vocal stylies?
I mean, you get this a lot on planes as well. When
you used to get it in buses. Sorry to steamroller. Mm-hmm. You used to get it on buses in the 70s, I remember, when they had conductors.
Yeah.
I remember as a child there was one that used to go around going, get your hair cut, get your hair cut,
that's
get your hair
right.
cut. And you would look forward to these charismatic guys. Like
character conductors.
Kind of like a Butlins guy on a coach or making your journey more fun, Bose. But to do it on the PA system, that's super cool because then you can employ all sorts of special tonal delivery techniques.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to record your favourite crazy conductor, then send in. Now we're like, that's life.
That's cool. And tell us what train they're on, because you never know. I mean, this could build into something.
Yeah, exactly. We'd
I
like
don't know
to know
what,
and maybe you know you could even go further and go and talk to the guy yourself and
get a little snap,
ask him what his name is and stuff. So
give us his catchphrase,
so we can give some of these people their props.
I mean, it's British Rail don't exist anymore, which is a shame. The same company own all the tracks, do they?
Do
is there
they?
Some sort of unified company? I don't know, but if there were, they could have a sort of website which would have pictures of all their charismatic train hosts and their catchphrases, you know. They could put, I don't know, I'm going to stop now. I just shut down.
That's good, though. We want to hear from you about any of those people.
No,
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 no, no, stop it. No, no, no.
Who's that? What? I was talking about the guy last week on the phone, on the cinema phone line.
Oh, I got Ben Kingsley coming back.
Oh, sexy beast.
No, 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 stop it. Yes, 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 Gil, yes.
T-H-E-A-D-A-M, ampersand J-O-E, B-O-D-C-A-S-T, that's the podcast crew, baby.
Jungle Groove.
Foo.
Do you like the jungle?
Yes.
Of course. Watch out for the tin pines.
T-H-E-A-D-A-M, ampersand J-O-E, B-O-D-C-A-S-T, that's the podcast groove, baby.
House Groove.
Foo.
Do you like it in the house?
No.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
We had an email that we read out earlier from a lady who was... had an upsetting weekend because of very loud noise from her neighbours. Her name was Wendy in Plymouth. Hello, Wendy. And I was also telling you about my very loud noise experience. And I was asking people for techniques to deal with extremely loud parties when you're a bit divided about it, like me. You like parties, but you don't really want to have one then. You know, I like to choose when I have my parties.
Sure you do.
Anyway,
come on then, Jeremy Vine.
Yeah, here are one or two bits of advice that have come from various people.
Years ago, when I moved into a very small flat, and it was one of my first flats that I ever got, and I was very excited, I had a bit of
Found
a party
it.
With some friends of mine, and there was a knock on the door from the guy that lived next door, a very nice posh gentleman, and he and his boyfriend were being kept awake by the noise coming from my groovy place. I felt really bad about it. And he was all shaking with rage because he didn't know what kind of person I was because I'd just moved in. So he didn't know, you know, like, oh, no, I've got a nightmare neighbour. He didn't realise it was just nice Dr. Buckles.
Dr. Buckles.
So anyway, the next day, I left a nice bottle of wine outside.
Oh, that's very nice.
Doorstep. And after that, he was all smiles and we became good buddies.
Here it is. I found it. Here's the email. Morning, Adam and Joe. Regarding your angry music neighbour, my friend Dan recently had a few of us staying over at his rural terrace with neighbours on both sides. We had the usual night in the pub, then we went back to his for a couple of post-pub wines. This led to us staying up until 4 a.m. playing unreasonably loud music.
Mate.
The next day, a note was put through the door from his neighbour telling him it was unacceptable as they had kids, etc.
Yes.
Not wanting to look like a bad neighbour, Dan wrote a note back saying that a close friend had died.
What?
And we were having a drink to remember him. The next day, Dan received another note apologising for the original complaint.
Oh, mate.
Good tactic for avoiding neighbour friction, but probably a one-use solution. That's the old 400 blows tactic, isn't it?
Yeah.
The way Antoine Dwanel gets out of something at school by pretending his dad has died.
Yeah, he gets pretty quickly busted.
And then
in
10 minutes later, his dad turns up in the school with the headmaster looking very angry. But that is the... Yeah, that's like DEFCON 5, isn't it? You only resort to a fictional death in extreme circumstances.
Not. He couldn't just say sorry.
It won't happen again.
Sorry. Here's another good one from Simon in Sheffield. The best thing to do is to turn up at the party with a bottle of wine, say Jim invited you, walk in bold as brass, then rip all the wires out of their music equipment and leg it over the fence. Party over, says Simon in Sheffield. I think that's quite a good bit of advice. Or here's another one. Have we got time for one more? Yeah, here is one from an anonymous texter. For a party diversion, go and knock on the door. Say that since the music was so loud, you assumed it was a public party and demand to be let in, lest they turn down the stereo. If they refuse, assume they're inviting you and proceed to be the worst party guest ever. Smash things, eat all their food, drink all their booze, tell inappropriate stories, and try and have naughty times with the girlfriend. Only leave when they promise to turn down the music. From Danny Williams, I am a girl and a newly converted Slack Squadron member. We salute you, Danny. That's a good bit of advice.
That's it for the podcast fun. Next week there'll be another one. It's normal to feel sad, not odd, because it's the end of the podcast. Except for this bit.
There we go, folks. Thank you very much for listening. That's the end of our podcast. Don't forget you can correspond with us on any subject under the sun. Personal problems, general knowledge questions, anything you want.
As a general bit of housekeeping regulation rule factor, can I say four letters? TLDR. Do you know what that stands for?
Yes, too long, don't read.
Exactly. Too long, didn't read. There's a lot of messages, especially on the subject of travelling tales, that I like. Flipping
essays. Well, that's wonderful and flattering and terrific that people want to correspond with us like that, but it's merely a time thing. So pithy, the more pithy, the more likely it is to get read.
That's true. Exactly. Little top tip for you there.
And, you know, edit your own stuff. Keep it super tight.
Yeah, super concise.
Yeah. And then we're sure to read it out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everybody who's sent anything in. And we will be back next week.
Take care. Have a wonderful week. I love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music. Six Music.
So listen, earlier on, we were talking about Go to Joe's premiere. We got into a thing. We made a hilarious comment about Lou Grade and flies and stuff like that. But then afterwards, I realised that I hadn't, like, delivered the punchline right. Do you ever get that when you say something that you think is nominally amusing in some way, but then you think, I could have said it so much better. I wish I could go back and fix it.
So what did you say the first time round?
I mean, it wasn't that funny, but... Maybe it's a Lou Grade type of zip.
Maybe they're made by Lou Grade.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing he's into.
He's finished raising the Titanic.
Now he's lowering the zip. I should have said, and now it's lower the Flytanic. Yeah? So what we're going to do is we're going to fix it in the podcast. That's the wonderful thing that we can do because we have this live show, but then we also have a podcast, and James, our wonderful producer, chops it around and makes it sound nicer. So we're going to
fix it. It's going to make all the difference.
Sure it is.
People are going to laugh very, very powerfully and authoritatively when they hear that improved joke.
It's a tissue of lies!
Adam and Joe.
On Six Music.